So Sean and I have arrived at where the driverless car is standing, and it's actually inside the science centre here. It's on show, it's on display, so people can see it and go up and have a sit inside. Let's find out more about this. Alan's with me here from Catapult Transport Systems to tell us more about it. Hi, Alan.
Hello there.
So this is the driverless car we're standing next to. Tell us a bit about it and what your involvement with all of this has been.
Yes, so at the Transport Systems Catapult, we're leading this project called Lutz Pathfinder, which is a trial in Milton Keynes. It's a small electric vehicle capable of carrying two passengers. But the interesting thing about it is it's designed to be fully autonomous. So we've got a variety of sensors all around the vehicle and some clever software which will enable it to localise itself, work out where it is in the world, and transport people without the need for a human driver.
But of course, there is an issue at the moment in that, you know, with the rules and regulations that surround these cars, there is a suggestion that someone would have to be in the car with you. You couldn't just get into the car on your own. Say, like myself, someone who's partially sighted.
That's correct. And this is only a trial. We're trying to test the technology and trial the technology and make it work. We've still got a long way to go. Regulation is an issue, but there's also a number of technical challenges to overcome to make sure and prove that these vehicles are safe enough to use with the general public.
Can I just say, going back to the technical side, so what technology is in this one? Is it the same as all the other driverless cars, or is there something specifically different with this one? Because the design is totally different.
Well, it is, but essentially the technology is the same as what Google are using and others who are developing this technology. We're using LiDAR, which is radar with light. We're using cameras, we're using radar, using ultrasonics, the kind of thing that you use for your parking of your normal car.
Right.
And the final safety element is the human driver, as it's just a trial.
And is this the first trial in the UK, the Milton Keynes one?
There's a number of things going on. This is one of the first. There's other trials going on in Bristol and in Greenwich. The government is investing heavily to try and take this technology forward and make sure that the UK are leaders in this exciting area.
But of course, one of the things is, you know, whether or not sorry to keep going back to this, guys, but you know, I want one of these cars. I will buy one. I'll buy this off you if you can give me it for a tenner, because that's what I've got in my wallet. So, you know, I'd take this tomorrow because it gives me independence as someone who's visually impaired, and that's what I want in my life. When do you think that's likely to happen?
Well, and that's exactly what this technology is aimed for, trying to give people back their mobility that can't actually drive, or who may simply just not want to drive. The hassle of car ownership is quite substantial. In terms of timescales, well, that's the million-dollar question. I think they will start to be working in some areas, in some environmental conditions fairly soon, but how quickly they roll out to all areas in all environmental conditions. There's a lot of different infrastructure to deal with. There's a lot of different junction types and situations that can go wrong. So it's really about testing. The more testing that we can do, both in the real world and in the virtual world, the quicker we'll get it to market.
So do you think that it's actually the regulation side of thing that's the biggest difficulty to overcome rather than the technical side?
I think without, in terms of regulations, we need a way of proving that it's safe enough to use with the public.
Yeah.
It's not there yet. We've not been able to demonstrate, companies generally are not able to demonstrate that this technology is ready for public use, but there's some really exciting trials going on, and there's research being done all the time. So,
yeah, I suppose social acceptance is another major factor.
Absolutely, social acceptance is another major factor, but also, do we need to make changes to the infrastructure to enable these vehicles to work? Are some situations too complex for an automated vehicle to handle? And there's a lot of complicated areas to address.
And also there's a lot of sighted drivers out there who don't want to give up control of their car. So we as blind and partially sighted people have got that barrier to get over as well.
Well, I think I think people would appreciate having some of their free time back. I mean, yes, some people find driving extremely pleasurable, but when you're sat in traffic, it's not the most enjoyable experience. If I had the opportunity to do some work on my computer or read a book or have a little sleep, then I'd probably take that opportunity rather than drive, to be honest with you. So I think I think the social acceptance issue is a major concern, but it's something that can be overcome once the technology gets working well.
I know the car can't move here. It's not physically moving at the Science Centre in Glasgow today, and that's through regulations and, I guess, and issues with all of these new technologies. We're so ahead of the curve that the car can't move on its own. But this car that we're standing next to is a full autonomous driverless vehicle.
This particular model is not yet fitted with all the kit to make it fully autonomous. But we have other versions of this which are being fitted with the kit, which are being tested in private areas, and we're getting the technology working before we put it on the streets with the public.
And this car, I mean, if we just sort of have a look at it, I mean, I can see it. I don't know about you, Sean, how much of this can you see?
Not much. I can just see the general size of it, and it's just smaller than I thought it'd be.
It's like a little smart car.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's actually smaller than a smart car, and it's the minimum kind of size that we can get to make a stable vehicle and fit all of our sensors into. And the reason for that is because we're testing it in pedestrianised areas. But there's a kind of a larger vision here, in that it's not just about providing better mobility, but it's also about energy. If we can make the vehicle low speed, low mass, we're going to use a lot less energy, especially compared to the amount of energy that's used in conventional public transport to move people around.
Okay, I think Sean and I have to try this out. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it. Did it come in extra large?
I think it might need to. Is this car big enough for two well-fed married men?
It's more than big enough, I'm sure.
Right, okay. Let's try it. Right,
we'll
on you go.
See.
Right, Sean, you get in first.
Oh, hang on, I'm holding a cane.
Right, well, give me my cane back.
Okay.
Just watch your head on the roof there.
You all right there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Down a little bit.
There we go.
I'm in.
You're in. Okay. So we've still got a steering wheel in there so that we can drive it around manually.
Oh, I see.
Right, I'm coming in with you.
Yeah,
Alan, if I can ask you to hold my cane.
Yes, of course.
You're in charge of canes here today.
Yep.
This is it. We're giving up our sight, and in fact, we are.
Yep, just mind your head. There we go.
Well, this is comfortable.
This is snug. Hello.
This is nice.
Where
this
do you
is
want
nice.
To go, Governor?
Anywhere, quite frankly.
I'm not pressing any buttons.
Don't press anything.
What's this flashing light there?
Whatever you do, don't press the red button.
Coming through. I was just looking for the horn.
Isn't it amazing that all this technology, Alan, and yet we always still look for the basics like a horn?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's human nature. And funny you should say that. When we drive the test vehicles around, we constantly look for things like wing mirrors and things like
yeah,
that, because
of course,
we're just used
to them.
No, there aren't.
There's no, because of course you don't need them. That's the thing, isn't it? You don't. I suppose you don't think about all the things in a car that you wouldn't need anymore. You don't need the mirrors. You don't need.
It's a totally alien concept, isn't it? To get used to. That's the thing.
How weird would it be without a steering wheel?
Well, I think that there
that's
are
the aim, isn't it?
There are vehicles out there now that that do operate fully automated mode. You know, we've got the Heathrow Pod at Heathrow Airport, which takes you from the business car park to Terminal 5. And that's a fully automated vehicle, much like this, but it has its own special infrastructure. So it's in a sense, it's not new. You know, this has been around for a while. I mean, it's just trying to roll it out to different areas and trying to let it interact with other vehicles and pedestrians. That's the difficult part.
I think the big question we've got here, Alan, is do you do finance?
Yeah. Well, as you say, I don't think
there's no tracker in this one. We just
just get out of the door.
Yeah, I don't think people will need to buy these vehicles. I think this will be operating in a similar way to a taxi. You'll call them up, they'll take you to where you need to go. But it's a taxi that could run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also it could. The other advantage of it being driverless is the fleet can relocate itself to where it's needed. Any time of the day or night, and take people where they need to go.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, just sitting in here, Sean, you know, it's quite a neat little vehicle. It's comfortable.
It is, yeah. I mean, just having it physically here rather than just, you know, in the realm of imagination, it makes it all a little bit more real. I know there's a long way to go, but I don't know. It's just nice to actually see one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here it is, driverless car. Alan, I wish you all the best for what you're doing, and you know, thank you for showing us the car.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, now we need to get out.
Can I get out this side?
Right, you get out that side. I'll come out this side. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was exciting in many ways.
Not necessarily because it reminded me that I need to get on the treadmill pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's, never mind cars, we need to run.
We need a driverless treadmill. How cool would that be? Powered by your own walking.
Well, I've got one already. I've got a driverless treadmill because I don't get on it. It just sits there with clothes on it.
They are fantastic at holding clothes because there's so many bits you can put the clothes. You can hang them over. It's great.